Well, good morning, Tucson. This is Tom Moulton. I am the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we're going to talk astronomy today. And there's a wonderful guest that we have. His name is Nick Letson. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be here. Good to see you.
Good to see you, my friend. Nick and I have known each other for many years. Was introduced to you when you were working with a celebrity here in town, Dr. Philibom. Let's start a little bit about who is Nick, and really we'll get into all the things about astronomy.
Okay, sure. Yeah, well, maybe I'll work backwards here. So I'm currently the marketing and communications manager for Flandreau Science Center and Planetarium. Started there right after, I guess if you could say there ever was an after COVID sort of thing. So jumped in as we reopened to the public. Before that, I was actually at the university in a different role as a communication specialist for university analytics and institutional research.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's a mouthful for sure. And before that, I was at Sonoran Glass School as the communications director and associate director. And before that, a journalism major here at the University of Arizona.
Well, let's mention that when you were at the Sonoran Glass School, you became the president of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I was secretary and then president after a few years after that. And
you are our youngest president. You are a millennial.
I am.
And it was exciting to have someone that behind the realm that didn't have gray hair. But you had a beard, so you were okay.
I did. Yeah. I'm definitely getting the gray hair now, though. I'm getting, especially in the beard.
You're getting old now. You're almost 40, right?
Or almost, yeah.
Almost 40.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to understand how important the attractions are here in our community.
Yeah.
And the University of Arizona, believe it or not, we've identified 21 attractions. Predominantly, they are located on campus. Some are off campus, like the Biosphere 2. But what's probably unique to this university is they're mostly connected to one of the colleges in the University of Arizona. This particular Flandreau Science Center and Planetarium is connected to a very active department at U of A. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So we are under the umbrella of the College of Science, which is an exciting college to be a part of. You know, we operate a little differently. We do have classes, actually, that take place in the planetarium, but we are open to the public as well. Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 5. And occasionally we offer those classes to the public during our Wildcat Family Days, the exact astronomy classes. And other than that, we do the live star talks every day.
Now, I have been there not as a student, but as a guest. Also, we've had several programs there. What's unique inside the Flandreau Science Center is this large dome-shaped theater.
Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about the theater in greater detail, especially on how it involves the College of Astronomy, or I should say the astronomy, which is part of the College of Science, and how unique this particular planetarium is in regards to maybe some of the other planetariums that are around the country. And quick story, I just came back from Canada for a tourism conference, and there was a planetarium there. And my goodness gracious, I met Hector, or the brother of Hector.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of a tease a little bit, because you may not know who Hector is.
Hector Vector, the star projector.
Yes. And he was the star. And if I recall correctly, he kind of came out of the ground.
He rose out from the lower level, yes, through the middle of the floor.
And without Hector, you would have not been able to see the Little Dipper or one of the other star constellations up there, especially the North Star. But there's been a lot of changes that have taken place, and we're going to get into a lot of those changes on our second segment. But how's the transition been for you? You've gone from, in one sense, some similarities, because the Sonoran Glass School was a teaching facility, but also open to the visitors. So there are some, similarities between what you're doing now and what you were doing when I was introduced to you as an attraction, the Sonoran Glass School. And we mentioned Dr. Philibom, and who started, or the founder of the Sonoran Glass School. And so education has kind of followed you in your career since you've been here in Tucson.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of parallels, and you wouldn't think so on the surface, but glass art, especially at dealing with molten glass at these extreme temperatures, there's a lot of science in the building of the glass and the annealing, which is the cooling down process, and then all the educational programs that go around it that teach the public about the science and the art around the glass.
Yeah, so when you're the marketing and communications manager of both facilities, there's the guest side, or the visitor side, as Visit Tucson would call it, a place where locals, residents, and regional residents, and certainly people from all over the world can come and visit and experience what's going on. But then there's the, how do I make something? Or how do I take advantage of, in the sense where you're working now, the Flandreau, and how do I learn about the space and the stars and the planets, and what's really happened with Flandreau is, with the retirement of Hector, there was something new that came. And it's just one of the renovations that have happened at Flandreau. Now, Flandreau's been in the news for many years. It was part of the original Rio Nuevo plan,
right,
where it was going to be relocated on
by the freeway,
the bridge.
Yes,
you know, and that's all history now. Thank goodness. And once that kind of fell apart, It really had the opportunity to, now let's focus on this gem that we have at the University of Arizona. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to learn more about what has happened since, I guess, the powers to be decided not to rebuild the Flandreau on a bridge across I-10. As funny as it may sound.
And we've done a lot in our building that's been there since 1975.
Well, you're listening to Jump in Tucson, and my guest is Nick Letson. This is Tom Moulton, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back. This is Tom Moulton, and you're listening to Jump in Tucson. 5 days a week, beginning at 9 o'clock, we have a host that interviews the folks that really make it happen here in Tucson, in Southern Arizona. And I have to tell you, we have one of those guests here today, Nick Letson, who is the, well, it's marketing and the communication and whatever the boss says.
Whatever needs to be done, yeah, for sure.
And you're a go-get-it kind of person. You jump in when you have to. Nick and I have done trade shows together and whatever it takes in order to both entertain and educate. That is one of the missions of the Flandreau Science Center. And I always have to remind myself, and planetarium. So we talked about, in the first segment, about Hector.
Yes.
And that little projector guy that came out, and next thing you know, you had the stars of the universe twinkling in front of you. And that was pretty amazing back then. And that's been, you know, really one of the things that you hear about Flandreau Science Center and the amazing star show. But there's been a lot more that's happened in addition to just the fantastic star show, which, by the way, has really improved in with all the renovations. So, Nick, let's hear about what's happened since they, whoever they are, decided that maybe Flandreau should stay on campus since it is part of the College of Science and all the activities that's going on, including missions working with the Space Department, and we're going to talk about that in another segment. But tell us a little bit about what has kind of happened since then, and of course, what's happened since you've been there.
Sure. Well, I mean, we're happy to stay on the University of Arizona campus. In a lot of ways, we are a really easy way to engage with the university. You know, for people of all ages, they know when we're open, they know they can come in, they know they can experience something, you know, any day of the week. So they having that barrier to entry be so low to engage is really important, being on the University of Arizona campus. I mean, you know, students can come in between classes and see a planetarium show if they want, you know. So we're happy to be there on campus, and we're happy to host lectures, special events, and all those kinds of things that engage our community in science education, because our mission is to inspire people of all ages to discover the wonders of science. And we do that in a lot of ways. And, you know, since we've made the decision to stay, we have done a lot of remodeling. And that goes all across the building, you know, from something as simple to the carpets to complete renovation of our planetarium theater. Now, you mentioned Hector Vector, the star projector, who is, yes, our special name for him. He's retired, but he is still at Flandreau. He's actually on display, and you can actually read a little bit about our history, and you can see how those old Minolta star projectors used to work, which they would radiate light from the center, and there would actually be star plates. They look like little eyeballs on Vector, and the light would shine through those. Each of those were actually pictures of a piece of the sky. So then it would shoot those out up on the dome, and that way, as you turned Hector, and each ball represents a different hemisphere of the Earth that you could move up and down. It looks like a big dog bone, sort of. And that would help you control the season, the hemisphere, and so you could say, well, this December we'll have these constellations up, et cetera. There, it's pretty amazing when you think about it, the analog technology anyway.
It was pretty a wow effect for the first time that you've seen it. Mm-hmm. But wait, there's more.
Wait, and then so, but as things progress, obviously, we need to keep up with the latest technology, and there are planetarium films now, full-on planetarium films that cover the entire dome, you know, in front of you, behind you. You can look around 360 degrees and be immersed in not only a space show, but perhaps, you know, the rainforests of Borneo, or like, you know, inside molecules, you know, to be able to go on these films inside black holes that really take your experience to the next level. So we still have the classic star shows where we go through the constellations, and those are actually still among our most popular. And then we have the new shows that are films, you know, some are kids friendly, some have Big Bird as the host, and you know, others have popular actors voicing cartoon characters. And so just a real way to engage people wherever they're at, however they want to experience science in the community.
You know, it's part of the experience, but it's not the only experience when you're inside the Science Center.
That's right, yeah. There's definitely two things you can do at the Science Center, because it's a Science Center and planetarium. So we recommend, you know, getting a ticket to a show, coming an hour or so early, or staying an hour or two late to visit our Science Center exhibits. And we have two floors of Science Center exhibits. And we have eight different exhibits currently. And I know we have our newest one, which I'm just going to talk a little bit about now. It's called Undersea Discovery. And I think we'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the program.
Yes.
That's our newest one. The one that came right before that, which we're also very proud of, is called The Wild World of Bugs.
Creepy things.
Creepy things, but, you know, misunderstood, sometimes cute. And we also have opportunities for the public to interact with some of our cuter guests, like the death feigning beetles, which play dead. It's really cute. And so that sort of shows you how they protect themselves in the wild.
Now, I had an opportunity last time I was in New Orleans to visit an insectarium.
Oh.
Now, you're not cooking the bugs and eating them there, are you?
I have eaten a bug, actually. Well, I had an earthworm jerky the other day. As we were preparing the exhibit, part of the exhibit has a corner on how bugs are used as a source of protein around the world. So we just have on display some things that we've sort of ordered from around the world where people can see that people actually eat bugs too. And they're a very sustainable food source. And that's, you know, the part of the science behind it.
Well, the experience at the Insectarium in New Orleans was they actually had a couple of burners.
We're not cooking. Yeah, we don't have a...
Well, that's good. Now, can you actually purchase any of the bugs in little containers or anything in the gift shop?
We
or?
Do have a few edible bug situations in our gift shop, yes.
So you want to make sure when you're going to Flandreau Science Center to stop by the gift shop.
There you go.
Which is run by the bookstore, the U of A bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot there to see and do, including you can take home your favorite bug.
That's true.
For and a snack.
We also have the classic astronaut ice cream as well, which kids love.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's not made of bugs.
Okay,
I'll tell you that much.
That's good to know, Nick.
It's like an ice cream sandwich. It's dehydrated. So it just gives you a kind of a sample of what an astronaut might eat for a sweet up at the space station.
Now, I have to, in full disclosure, let you everyone know that I did eat a cricket.
Oh.
And it was crispy.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the opportunity... if you wanted to, is to dip it in a selection of sauces, which I think psychologically my sauce probably overwhelmed if there was a taste to the cricket.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those unique experiences when you go to any science center. And just about every major community has a science center. But I don't think every major community has what you have done to the replaced the Hector, the Vector.
We have the two 4K projectors now, so that reaches across the entire dome. Now, the Hector, the Minolta star projectors, they are getting rarer and rarer as the years go on. But yeah, and we have the 5.1 Dolby surround. We have really comfortable seats, including one that has your name on it, Tom.
When you were fundraising for the new seats, now these are very unique seats because you're not sitting upright like a Fox Theater.
Right.
You're actually tilted just perfectly to see the dome.
That's right.
And the images on the dome. And so there's really not a bad seat in the house, is there?
Not really, no. The seats towards the back are a little better because you'll see like the entire dome. But yeah, they are situated in a way to give you the best view wherever you're sitting. And interestingly enough, not all planetariums are created equal in terms of the way they present. We are what is called a flat dome planetarium. So that simulates the night sky with everything directly above you. Now, our friends in Phoenix have a tilted planetarium where it's everything's kind of more at an angle and it's not right above you. It's a little more in front of you, on top of you. So just fun differences.
Yeah, what I experienced was an actual simulated, in a sense, spaceship. And you're flying to Mars or one of the other planets, Saturn. But you actually get to see it fly around, in a sense, to the dark side.
Mm. Yeah. What's fascinating is the software that we use to emulate the orbits of the planets and the rotations of the planets, it's really like having a mini solar system going on inside of the computer. And we're able to go at any point around the planets, to the sides, to their moons. It's really incredible to be able to take our visitors to anywhere in the universe.
Well, the music is our cue that we're going to be going to segment 3 in just a few moments. So this is Tom Moulton and Nick from the Flandreau Science Center, and this is Jump in Tucson. I almost said Tucson first, but Jump in Tucson. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, and I'm your host today for Tucson. And we're going to jump in right to this segment again, because we have a lot really more to talk about. We're going to talk to this particular moment about go beyond the educational mission of Flandreau Science Center and the planetarium, and talk a little bit about what you've been able to do with the theater, with the new projector, and that it's almost like a mini IMAX theater with the sound system that you have.
Yes.
And it's not your traditional rectangle type theater, turn on, top to bottom with maybe a little bit wider shot because it's a movie, but it's a dome. And while you have this field of vision, you certainly, when you're in a sense semi-laying down on your very comfortable seat, if you want to sit in my seat, J13, you're almost welcome to do that.
It's a good seat.
It's a very good seat. Thank you. Your boss, Kelly, recommended it. Highly recommended. But let's talk a little bit about the entertainment side of going to Flandreau Science Center. And these are generally held in the evening, many of them.
Yes. Yeah. So during the day, it's all about education, science exhibits, science engagement. But that doesn't mean we can't have a little bit of fun on Saturday night as well. And so what we've started doing since January 2023 are our laser light music nights. Now, these are special events that happen on Saturday nights, usually about 2 Saturday nights per month. And I'm happy to say every single one this year has sold out. We do have some upcoming ones that aren't sold out. They typically sell out a couple days ahead of time. But these feature artists. These are laser light music shows. They're all about the music. They feature artists like Led Zeppelin. Taylor Swift has been very popular, as you can imagine.
Yes.
We've got Laser the Weekend coming up. We've had a laser show on Tool, Journey, Foo Fighters, Disney songs, Stranger Things, and of course Pink Floyd has been a constant, generational favorite that people come to year after year.
And you get to sing along with this super sound system that you have there. And so it sounds like you have these special events for families. So bring the kids with you.
Yeah, you can certainly bring the kids. Yeah. And there are some that might have some adult lyrics, like if we do a Metallica or something, you just might want to check out our website.
That's a date night.
But we do have a lot of families that come. And each of these tickets do include access to our science exhibits. So not only do you get the laser light music show, but we also dress up our science exhibits a little bit for these, electric evenings, as I like to call them. So we put special lighting effects all through the science exhibits, including lasers, and then we put special music throughout the science exhibits as well. So it's really kind of a really fun atmosphere that people have really been enjoying.
Now, you said that they all have a tendency to sell out. Can you buy these tickets in advance?
You can, yeah. You can buy them at flandreau.org.
Very simple, flandreau.org. If you have not been there, we're highly recommended you go. But you can go during the day. Now, what I saw last time I was there, I saw these little munchkins all running around. So tell us a little bit about those special school programs that you have.
We have these munchkins, and they're called children.
You have a couple of them.
I do. I have a couple of them myself. Our field trips, it's kind of a classic rite of passage in Tucson, almost for any kid who goes to an elementary or middle school here in Tucson to go to a field trip to the planetarium. And so our classic field trips include the science exhibits and the planetarium show. And we actually now have specialty field trips in conjunction with the University of Arizona called Discovery Programs. And so those are actually taught by University of Arizona undergraduates studying in certain fields like earth science or entomology or meteorology. And and they teach the classes through hands-on mini workshops. So these can really be catered to a teacher's curriculum to really give kids that next level of science engagement.
So it's a generally, say, K through 8, or what kind of grade are the kids normally in?
It depends on the discovery program. Most are K through 8, and they're broken up to whether they cater towards more through like 1st through 4th, and then 5th through 7th, and then we have some that go into high school as well.
And how long is that program generally?
It's about 2 hours.
Okay, so you go to school.
Go to school, get on the bus, eat lunch, go back to school, basically.
All in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And are mom and dad sometimes invited to come with the kids?
Yes, chaperones are encouraged, and yeah, we love seeing the parents, and they learn just as much as the kids.
Now, I think you had a hiatus on summer camps, but do you have a summer camp this year?
We do have a summer camp this year, and there are spots still available. The 3rd through 5th grade has sold out.
Okay.
But we do have spots available for our 1st and 2nd grade programs.
So you want to jump on that right away.
Yes, you do. And when I say spots, I mean like 4 or 5 kids. So
you know how I got the word jump in on there. So yeah.
Jump in Tucson. There you go.
Now, again, is it the same way to make these reservations as go to flandrau.org?
Yep, that's flandrau.org.
Yeah, I think it's important to our listening audience that Flandrau, who's been on the U of A campus for
1975, almost 50 years.
50 years.
So you'll have to have me back next year to talk about all our 50th
Now, was Hector there 50 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can see Hector inside the museum. I did see Hector's brother in Canada last week, and he was twinkling.
Excellent.
But not 3D without the glasses. So mm-hmm. I was telling people around the tourism conference that you got to come to Flandrau because you can see these stars, but they're like they're right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, there's so much depth with the new systems. It's amazing.
Now, the other thing that I thought was exciting too is that you actually have inside the theater a person that sits in this operations control booth,
mm-hmm.
And that person is completely in charge of what's on that screen, and it's pretty complicated, I would think. And the one time I went in particular that I want to talk about is what happens when you get the input from NASA on one of their satellites and or one of their spacecrafts flying by a planet. And you get to actually experience what only really a few NASA maybe researchers get to see. Can you share a story about one of those occasions when you actually get to be in the aircraft and see it fly around a planet?
Sure. Yeah, we're certainly in the pipeline for that type of information, and it's pretty incredible to be able to bring that into our live shows and constantly update them. You know, for example, when the U of A had those first images of a black hole, we're able to incorporate that into our live shows. When we got the 3D models of the asteroid Bennu, which is actually a University of Arizona-led mission that was successful in collecting a sample from an asteroid in space and dropping it back here on Earth, we're able to get those models and show people what that asteroid actually looks like, how it compares to things like the Empire State Building in terms of its size, and, you know, really hold it in front of the audience and say, like, this is what it is, this is what we did. And this was the spacecraft that took us there.
Science is so important to our children in particular, but it's not bad for us adults as well to see these successful missions come right to, in a sense, the big screen inside Flandrau. And you're getting input all the time of these new images. And besides sharing them just with the folks that are studying astronomy, a visitor gets to see those as well.
Yes.
And I would imagine these lectures that you also hold in the theater are very visual lectures.
Yes. And so that same information can be used in our classes. Now, we do have astronomy classes that Stewart Observatory teaches out of Flanders Planetarium. And actually, it's interesting to note that only 9% of universities even have planetariums. And a smaller subset of those are offered not only to the students, but also to the general public. So that's really what makes Flandreau a special part of Tucson and something really a gem in town that we have that opportunity. And so, yes, for our Science at Sunset lectures, which is a lecture series we've had recently, we've brought in University of Arizona researchers, and they're able to really engage the audiences on eclipse science. We had the big eclipse recently. Monsoon science, a popular topic. We even did a Star Wars May the 4th Galaxies Not So Far Away lecture recently. So it's been great.
You know, the planetarium and the Stewart's Observatory next door are really helping the astronomy industry excel at the University of Arizona, where you have folks attending the astronomy division of the College of Science from all over the world, don't you?
We do. They come from all over the world, and we have a very storied and important history with NASA at the University of Arizona.
And that will be at our next segment, where we're going to talk about how the College of Science and the astronomy and mapping the moon, remember that story, how
yes.
important that was. And you're going to hear a lot more about that when we return. This is Jump in Tucson. And don't forget, tomorrow, Friday, Dr. Ackerley will be back at 9 o'clock with his special guest. See you in a few minutes. Well, we're back, and this is Jump in Tucson. And my name's Tom Moulton, your host every Thursday. Next Thursday, we're going to have the folks from Tubac. As you know, that's kind of like our Southern Arizona art capital of the world, and Tubac Center of Arts folks, Sarah and Karen, are going to be here, and we're going to talk all about the arts and how important Tubac has been to the evolution of Arizona. And then don't forget, tomorrow, Dr. Ackerley will be here at 9 o'clock. Featuring some wonderful folks that aren't afraid to jump in. So that's certainly our guest today, Nick Lesson, who is the communications and marketing manager, and everything else that Kelly, the boss, wants him to do. He's a good-humored gentleman, and we've known Nick from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance for many years. Still gets involved. Helps me out on many of the programs, but it's always a pleasure to see Nick at Flandreau Science Center and Planetarium. So we were, last segment, we were talking a little bit about University of Arizona's not only having a world-class astronomy division as part of the College of Science and folks from all over the world, but there's also this direct engagement with NASA. And let's start with the moon and what happened before we landed on the moon.
It's a great place to start. Well, you know, John F. Kennedy, 1961, when he announced, let's land a man on the moon and let's get him back before this decade is out, bring him safely back. NASA's like, okay, well, where do we start? And oddly enough, you know, one thing you need to land on the moon is you need to know where to land. You need a map. And that's where Gerard Kuiper, who you might recognize his last name from the Kuiper Belt,
yes,
was here working on highly detailed maps of the moon. So NASA approached us to get that information and actually found the safe landing sites. And so absolutely integral to making those Apollo missions happen.
And that was the only beginning of the University of Arizona's engagement with NASA.
That's right. We've been involved in almost every single mission, and not every university can say that. I don't think another university can say that. And more recently, the OSIRIS-REx mission, which I mentioned earlier, which we went and collected a sample from an asteroid in space. Now, that's interesting to learn about the formation of our solar system and perhaps where the elements of life came and how they came to Earth. And it's also interesting in learning about the composition of asteroids, because there is a little bit of a security threat from asteroids, you know, flying around the solar system, which there are a lot. So should we, God forbid, need to deflect one, we have that information that helps us arm that. And there's actually people on Kitt Peak, affiliated with the University of Arizona, looking out for these asteroids, tracking them all the time. So we're actually playing a huge role in our planetary defenses as well.
And of course, as the astronomy division, again, of the College of Science, was the place to go when you mm-hmm. wanted to map the moon. And there have been aircraft, in the sense, spacecraft, that has gone around the moon. And, you know, clearly you didn't want to land on the dark side of the moon. But you wanted to have that safe. And there's been all kinds of documentaries about the landing of the moon in the moon in the multiple times we've been to the moon. But I don't know if they always say that the University of Arizona played an integral part.
They don't say it enough, for my money, Tom.
And there will be another mission to the moon. And I'm sure the University of Arizona has some part of that.
Yes, and with the James Webb Space Telescope, with the cameras, the highly sophisticated cameras. Now, Tom, did you know that we know more about the planets in our solar system than the very depths of our oceans here on Earth?
Is that right?
Yes, this is a segue, because I do want to talk about, at the beginning of the program, we talked about our new exhibit called Undersea Discovery. It's a perfect summer exhibit. We've got over 24 tropical fish down there, seahorses, clownfish. We've got an eel down there. And we also have an intertidal touch experience where people can experience marine life for themselves with the help of our staff and learn about how they live in the ocean's waters.
Can we give a couple of tickets away maybe to that first caller, Matt?
Sure.
We're going to go ahead, Matt, if that's okay with you. And could you tell us where do they call in, and it'll be the first person that answers the phone?
Sure. Give us a call, 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040.
And you'll be able to pick these up at Will Call. So Matt will...
At Flandreau or here?
At Flandreau.
Gotcha.
And you want to certainly go and see the new exhibit,
mm-hmm.
Under the Sea. That's... Again, it sounds like a really super exhibit. I think I have to maybe get off my my rear there in the office and come over and see what's new, and visit with you and Kelly and the rest of the team. Bill, your operations guy,
yes,
has
Bill
been
Plant.
There. Has been there for even when they were considering moving to the
yes.
Rainbow Bridge, and it's a great team, highly educated, graduate students. You got to meet the operator mm-hmm. of the new planetarium.
Our planetarium operators are great, yeah, and they will take you on a journey through the solar system.
Fantastic. Well, we want to thank the Flandreau Science Center, and we want to thank Nick Letson for being with us for this entire hour. I hope that you've learned a lot more about Flandreau Science Center, and go to flandreau.org and book your next visit. That's going to be very important, because they're about ready to sell out on their summer camp. Only the first graders and second graders are open. Is that right? Okay. So, well, we're going to be back on next Thursday with Toubok Center of the Arts, and Dr. Ackley will be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And we're so proud to be part of the Jump in Tucson program. That's every Monday through Friday, beginning at 9 a.m. So thanks again to all of folks listening in, and we'll see you next Thursday.